You're familiar with Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy from the 8th District. He's always kind enough to join us when there are breaking stories. Today we're going to talk about the steel tariffs. But geez, you know what, Raja? You do need to get in the Senate because you work with a bunch of lunatics in Congress.
Hey, thank you, Lisa. Unfortunately, I think you're right about that. But in any case, I think these steel tariffs don't make any sense. Even though I believe that certain tariffs make sense, where you're trying to level the playing field, so to speak, for our domestic manufacturers, blanket tariffs, especially on steel imports from Canada, doesn't make any sense. You're basically doing two things. You're just raising prices for everybody, and then you are also pushing away your friends, partners, and allies, including Canada and others who you need to combat economic aggression by the Chinese Communist Party. I just visited a business in Rockford that is actually laying people off. It's a 25-person family business that's laying people off, that was doing gangbusters as late as, January, February of this year. But now it can't do business because the price of imports is just sky high, and it's a vital part of their business.
Okay, so a quarter of all steel used in U.S. is imported. That means that three-quarters of our steel is made here?
Right. But, a quarter comes, for instance, to help with inputs in the auto industry, right? I mean, we have auto plants in the Chicago area, and, of course, Illinois imports a lot from Canada. And what happens is those imports come here, okay, so steel might come from Canada over here, gets put into cars here, and then the cars might be exported back to Canada. But if you are, hiking the price of those imports by so much, the steel imports by so much, you're essentially making your cars potentially out of reach for consumers.
So our two neighbors, Canada and Mexico, are number 1 and 3 respectively in steel shipment to the U.S., and Mexico actually imports more steel from us than it exports to us. So they're taking a huge exception to what is happening, and of course Canada is upset about it, but there's not much that can be done, right?
Well, there's litigation, and there's lawsuits that are wending their way through the courts, but really, you need certainty. I'm a former small business person. I like to say I sign the front of the check and the back of the check. Yeah. And what these small business people need is certainty. They can't plan their hiring. They can't plan investment unless they know exactly what's going to happen, not just 90 days from now, not just, 6 months from now, but years from now. Without that certainty, they pause their hiring, they pause their investment, and then that has cascading effects throughout the economy.
Congressman,
and they're always, go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry, Lisa. Congressman, I have a question. We asked a business owner, I think earlier this week, that I read somewhere that under one of the lawsuits being held against the tariffs, the federal judge hearing it said that if the tariffs are found to be illegal, that the money that the businesses have paid in those tariffs would go back to the businesses with interest. And the fact seems to be, or there's certainly partially, these tariffs are being paid by the consumers. I'm kind of stumbling over here, but I guess what I'm saying is there seems to be a scenario where the businesses could get all their tariff money back with interest and the consumers who paid it don't. Does that make any sense to you?
No, I don't get it.
But that could be the case, right?
It could be the case that the business that paid the tariffs to the government might get its money back, but the people that paid a higher cost to those businesses, because remember, those businesses often have to pass on those costs to consumers, they're not going to get their money back, nor is the business going to be able to get that business back that they lost because they had to hike their prices. And so I think that while I understand what the judge is saying, I think the damage is done. Not only that, but you may notice that one court said that the tariffs were illegal, and then the next court, the Court of Appeals, reversed the lower court. And so that in itself is causing a lot of uncertainty, as this family-owned business in Rockford told me.
Okay, Congressman, I have a question real quick. I want to get in a question about the big, not so beautiful bill. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, someone I clearly don't understand, said that she didn't even see a part of the bill that she now opposes. I know they try and press you to read over 1,000 pages and vote very quickly. But as a congressperson, don't you have staff that can each take 100, 200 pages and report to you what they know would be something you would vote against? Why are people in Congress not reading what they're passing?
I think that a lot of times the staff is summarizing, or we're getting summaries of sections that are otherwise consistent with prior sections that we may have read or we understood. I think where the real challenge comes is the last-minute changes that happen to the bill, like literally in the 11th hour, and then they try to rush it through. And that's what's, you know, for instance, happened with this reconciliation package. I thought it was, you know, people call it the big, beautiful bill. I keep calling it the large, lousy law. I think that it was horrible, even from the get-go, in terms of, you know, cutting 8 million people off their Medicaid, cutting people off of food stamps. As I've told you before, I'm a child of food stamps and public housing, so this is a personal issue for me, and to fund these tax cuts for the wealthiest among us. It turns out that there were additional changes made at the end that not only lead to cuts in Medicaid and food stamps, but now we're learning that it's going to lead to cuts in Medicare. And that is, I mean, you talk about kind of a horrible headline and a horrible impact of this bill. It's, you know, hurting seniors at a time when they're already, you know, dealing with other issues. And so this is just overall a very, very bad bill.
I want to ask you, so I know we're leaving here. At least I do this to you all the time. But
no, that's okay. I mean, he's welcome to stay if he wants to stay after the news. But go ahead. Get your question.
It's just being reported that the Education Department is going to try to remove the accreditation for Columbia University.
Oh, my God.
What's your reaction to that?
I think it's ridiculous. Look, did we need to deal with anti-Semitism on campuses? Yes, I get it. And, you know, you have to take steps to do that. But under the cover of dealing with that, I think the administration is now getting to a place where they're trying to control what is actually being taught on campuses. I'll just give you one quick example. They sent a letter to a university, and in that letter they said to the president of the university that they want an audit, quote unquote audit, of the perspective and ideology of every student and faculty member at that university. Why? Because they want to ultimately, it appears, control the thoughts of these people. And, you know, that kind of thought control is now apparently motivating some of the thought control and action control of these of the administration. That program doesn't make any sense. It's un-American.
I wish we had more time. We have so many questions, and I did want to talk about reintroducing the resolution for calling to double federal funding for career and technical education, but that
yes.
just means you have to come back. or you can hang out through the news. Your choice.
You know what? I'm going to have to come back. But yes, that
okay.
is huge. 60% of Americans don't go to college, four-year college, and we have to make a world-class post-secondary education system for them.
It's your choice, but it's going to be a really good newscast.
Thank you so much, Congressman.
Okay, thank
we
you.
Appreciate it. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy.